have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 8. Begin reading with verse 42. We live in a day where people are being deceived. The Bible teaches that. I will get into it in just a moment. The last days these things would be happening, and these are coming more commonplace. We have preachers that can stand and tell you a bald-faced lie and know they're telling a lie because they know better. But they tell it anyway because that's what you want to hear. And it gets them a bigger crowd, and the offerings come in. And the Bible said in the last days many would heap unto them teachers having itching ears, hearing only that they want to hear. And we're living in that day. We got preachers preaching everything and claiming it's the gospel. And they're not trying to really preach the truth. But listen to what the word of God said. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. But why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. For ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. For which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? For he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Verse 44, Jesus tells the main objective. The devil is a liar and a deceiver and has been from the beginning. And we need to understand that. And that's what he's here to do. He wants to deceive even the elect of God and cause problems in your life to keep you from being where God wants you to be. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about some lies I believe the devil would have you believe to make you not follow what God wants to have happen in your life. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:3-5, he said, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People like it when preachers preach psychology and tell them stories and make them feel good, like, isn't it just wonderful, and just have a great day and life's so wonderful. But that's not going to help you get rid of things in your life you need to get rid of. And we don't like to look, you know, as bad as Michael Jackson was, he wrote one song, it was pretty good. I have to deal with a man in the mirror. Every once in a while, you need to look at yourself and ask yourself, is there something in my life I need to get rid of? Something in my life I need to take care of? Because we need to deal with ourselves before we start worrying about everybody else. It's so easy to see somebody else's faults. But that's why God said, you know, sometimes you look at them and you swallowing the camel while you're gagging on a gnat. Hello? Amen. 2 Timothy 3:6-8. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away by diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. He's talking about our generation. We're going to be learning, but we never really come to truth. We're probably the most educated people this world's ever known in our time right now. We got kids that know more than we even knew when we were in school. I've gone and, you know, I was pretty good in math in school, and I've actually seen some kids with their math classes, and I've looked at what they're doing. They're allowed to use calculators. We weren't, but I'm glad that they can now, because what they're doing is a little bit harder. Of course, I never understood how you can figure out how to add 4 and 4 and get 0, but they can do that nowadays. It's called modern math. Of course, in another state, we're dumbing down, because now you got outcome-based education where if they spell the word where it sounds right, it's okay, even if it's not spelled right. If you spell cat, K-A-T, it's okay because it sounds like cat. And let's face it, you got Kit Kats. But I don't think that's the kind of cat we're talking about. But what it amounts to is our people are swallowing this thing. And, oh, this is good. My child can pass now. Your child could have passed before if they tried. You know, most kids that don't make good grades in school, one or two things is happening. Number one, they either need to go and get technical school and understand because they can use their hands to do something, or they just ain't trying. They don't like school so much, they figure if they just don't try, I don't know why they get to stay there longer. Hello? But we're living in a world where we're ever learning, but we're never coming to the knowledge of truth. Notice what it says in the 13th through the 15th verse. But evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. You ever notice we're living in a world where people are so busy promoting themselves? Huh? Do you really understand why Moses didn't get to go to the promised land? Because he took credit for what God was doing. It wasn't that he smoked the rock twice. It was because he said, Aaron and I have brought water out of the rock for y'all. And God said, you did not sanctify me before the people, so you can't go to the promised land. But yet we got preachers that act like they're the ones doing the miracles. They're the ones that's doing this. Send me your money. I'll pray for you. Something great's going to happen in your life. If God's not going to do it, it ain't going to get done. And we need to realize that. And some of these guys, we need to turn the TV off on Sunday morning and say, hey, I'm not watching this dude anymore. I don't care how good he is. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Y'all sitting there looking at me like something's gone wrong, but I'm still preaching the truth. Glory. But I want to talk to you tonight about some things I think Satan is using to try to mess us up in this world. First of all, I think Satan would like for us to believe that sin doesn't matter. We're being taught by some preachers, everybody's got to sin, so sin must not matter because you got to sin. And if anybody says they hadn't sinned, why, they're just gone. No, it said if I've never sinned in my life, I'm wrong because I was a sinner. I was born that way. Everybody is. But when I get born again by the blood of Calvary and I get washed in the blood of Calvary, then I don't have to let sin reign in my body, and sin is not an everyday part of my life because sin matters. If sin didn't matter, the pearl of grace price would have never had to come to this world to bring man back, because God understood even before there was ever a sinner on this earth, there had to be a Savior in heaven. If you read the book of Revelation, Jesus was seen as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God understood man was going to mess up, and he understood his son would be the one that would come and be the spotless lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And sin matters. It cost Jesus Christ his life. It cost us in ourselves. If we allow sin to get in our lives, it'll mess us up. Could you say amen? In a book that he wrote, Carl Benninger talked about sin. He said, sin became an ugly word in psychiatry. It became a scapegoat for folks to explain why they had problems. So he said, we need to outlaw sin, but instead of outlawing sin, we just renamed it. I mean, let's face it, folks. Folks are no longer drug addicts. Are dope heads, they're chemically dependent. That almost sounds all pliable. Hello? People aren't adulterers anymore. They're just having an affair. Homosexuals, well, that's just an alternate lifestyle. Somebody switched the wrong switch. Smile. Before I think I got on your toes. Glory. We've got people now that claim that they're women in a man's body, running around in women's clothes, wanting to go to the ladies' restrooms. And a wonderful president gets up and says, okay, executive order, you can't have men in women's bathrooms. We argued about it for 35 or 40 minutes at the General Assembly. Can you understand this? The president does not make laws. So therefore, that's an executive order. It is not a law. And you can take it to court and beat it any day you want to, because it's not a law of the land. He has to get it through Congress before it becomes a law, and he can't make law. Come on, church, not yet. That's why when he said you can keep your insurance and the law said you couldn't, I told you he was lying to you. Come January, some of y'all figured that out, because he can't change the law. Somebody said the other day, said, well, they've been doing it for years. I don't know what the problem is, because truly, if a man was dressed like a woman, went to the ladies' restroom, very few people would ever say anything about it, because they wouldn't know the difference. And I know some of y'all say, you can tell. I have seen some that are good. But the truth of the matter is, the problem we have in here in Alabaster is they've arrested six people at Target, men in the ladies' restroom taking pictures of women with their cell phones. That ain't cross-dressers, that's perverts. Come on, church. That's what that law creates, a problem we didn't have before. I know some of y'all said, "Now, preacher, you're crazy." Listen, I was preaching in New York one day, and I was at a Haitian church. Brother Emmanuel Dennis introduced me to a lady. You say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" First time and the only time I've ever been introduced to a Haitian lady by the pastor by her name. The lady come out the door still saying, "This is Brother So-and-so's wife." He said, "This is Sister Francis." I shook her hand. She went out the door. Beautiful woman. We got on the street, and he said, "You notice something, Brother Ken?" I said, "Yeah, you introduced the lady to me by her first name. You've never done that before." He said, "And we won't. It's not a tradition of the Haitian people. We introduce you by Brother So-and-so's wife or sister and call her last name. She gives you the first name. That's her business." He said, "But I did that because that was actually Sister Francis, but tonight he'll come back as Brother Frank." He said, "We have an agreement. He don't go to the restroom in the church because we don't have a restroom he can go to when he's dressed up like a woman." He said, "My pastor's council watches him. He has to leave the building to go to the bathroom. But said tonight he'll bring his family back with him." And he said, "His wife says she thinks he's okay. He just likes to dress like that to fool people." And I said, "Really?" He said, "And I thought about running him off. Then I realized I can't help him if I'm not preaching to him and praying for him. So we got him here, but we keep him under control." Amen. I told you I've seen some good ones. I thought that was a woman. Then I met his wife. Hello. Listen, sin matters. While we got to the point now, fornication is not premarital sex and adultery. It's just experimentation, and everybody's got a right to do that. We don't even tell them it's wrong. We just tell them to protect yourself. That's garbage. Adultery is adultery by any name you want to call it, and all adulterers go where? Hell. Not just those that ain't in church, not just those that aren't under the cover of the church. Everybody that commits adultery, unless they get it under the blood, is going to go to hell. And notice this, repentance means you turn away from, so you can't just keep doing it and act like it's okay. Glory. Criminals, why, they're no more criminals anymore. They're people with a defect in their personality. Have you ever been to death row or some of the bad places? I've seen some of them ain't got no personality to have a defect in. Glory. I sat down beside a guy in home in prison one time, and I sat down beside him, and I made the biggest mistake you can ever make if you go to a prison. I won't ever do it again. I learned the hard way. This dude come in and sat down beside me. I reached over, shook his hand. I introduced myself, and he said, "How you doing, preacher?" I said, "What you in for?" "Don't ever do that." He looked at me and said, "Well, I killed a family." I said, "Why?" He said, "They came home." He's on death row, so I'm locked in with him. If he decides to kill me, they're not going to give him the electric chair twice. That was back before they stopped using the chair. It was right down the hall where we were having church. But I turned white. Brother Albert Mosley come over. He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Dude, that guy killed the whole family because they came home." He said, "Did you ask him?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't ever do that again." I said, "I won't. Just get me away from him, please." Oh, I was better off. I didn't know what he was there for. But according to most psychiatrists, he's just got a quirk in his personality. Unacceptable movies now, why, they're just R-rated because they're just trying to keep the kids from watching them. Well, there's junk in them kids shouldn't watch, just like some adults shouldn't be watching them. Filth has become fun. Rebellion has become liberation. Well, if I rebel against authority, I'm just liberating myself. Do you know why most so many people are getting shot by cops? Because they won't do what they're told to do when the police officer pulls them over. If he says, "Put your hands on the car," put your stupid hands on the car. Don't stand there and argue with him about it. He's got a gun. Granted, they might be a few that something's going wrong, but most of the time they're being belligerent with them. They can't get them under control. And you got to realize he's already scared just like you are. And somebody scared don't think good. You say, how do you know that? Because when I say something to people nowadays, they get belligerent with me like I don't have a right to tell them something. Hello? Want to talk back? I got news for you. When I was a kid, if I talked back to an adult, even somebody I didn't know, my teeth could go down my throat quick, because back then nobody cared. They said, bam, you better mind me, boy. I got whipped by a mule. Not yet. Because you didn't talk back to adults when I was a kid. Because you understood, you respected them. You didn't like what they said, walk away. I'm getting a lot of amens right over here. I guess y'all noticed that. Glory. But listen, rebellion is not liberation. One of these days, you learn something. I had to learn the hard way. You keep swimming upstream, you ain't going nowhere. Sooner or later, you got to learn. If you get with the stream, it's a whole lot easier to flow. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. But does sin matter? Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. Psalms 140:11, let not evil speaker be established in the earth, for evil shall hurt the violent man and overthrow him. The wisest man ever lived said this in Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. Proverbs 11:18-19, for the wicked worketh in deceitful work. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be the sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so that pursueth evil, pursueth it unto death. The Bible tells me in the book of Exodus, for the soul that sinneth shall die. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, your payday for sin is death. Hello? You say, well, preacher, everybody ought to die. That's true. Everybody ought to die. Cain killed Abel. Sin began to move in the world. But sin was so bad, Jesus was the only one who could come and pay the price so we could have everlasting life. Sin will rob you of your peace of mind, your relationship, distort your mind, and separate you from God. My Bible tells me before I got right with God, I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And it was sin that brought me back. Have you ever really read the story of the cross? Jesus was on the cross. Notice this. While he's on the cross, he says something very important. We read it in the King James Bible because it's not actually translated. It's in the Aramaic. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you also forsaken me? Everybody forsook him, but the son figured the father never would forsake him. And all of a sudden, the father turned his back on him. Why? Because of sin. And you know what? It was because he didn't recognize him for who he was, because of the sin that was in his life. But the sin that was in his life was not his sin. It was your sin. It was my sin. It was the sin of everybody on this world. And the Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin, that we through him might become the righteousness of God. And thank God he did become sin, and he did die, and he took my sins to that cross so I could have everlasting life in him. Could you say amen? Sin matters. It cost God his only son. Let me throw that in a little better. And once you get saved, you become like Christ. That's why he said you can come before the throne with boldness. When the Father looks at you, he sees the Son. Because Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life I live through him, by him, and for him. And so therefore I take on the looks and the likeness of Christ. So when I come to the throne room, I can come with boldness because I'm the Son. Hello? Glory. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, the devil will tell you that we control our own destiny. You ever heard that? Oh, man, I remember when I was in high school, they tried to beat that in my head. Every time you looked up, I was in the principal's office or the counselor's going, you can be anything you want to be. Problem was, I didn't want to be nothing. I wanted to be left alone. They kept calling me a waste of potential. Made them mad because I'd cut up in class and still make A's. Had one teacher wake me up every morning, get on to me for snoring. It was first period. That was a time to sleep. She didn't talk. She played tapes of her lectures. By halfway through the tape, I'd start snoring. She'd wake me up. Wake up now. You're going to miss something. I'm like, I've already missed it. Glory. Had another teacher would give us recipes. Right in the middle of her history lesson, she'd give you a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. There would be questions on them chocolate chip cookies on your test. If you didn't get it, she'd count it off. That same lady watered her artificial flowers. Scared me. Glory. Just to let you know, she wasn't a young woman. She taught my brother and sisters that same school. She was old when they was there. But I could be anything I wanted to, because we absolutely, people make us believe we control our destiny. You say, preacher, don't we? No. The deception is found in modern day humanism. We believe we can control our destiny. Genesis 11 and 4. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower that extends into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. And now we live in a world where we say, hey, do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. You control your destiny. You can be anything you want to be. But God has a plan for everybody in this building, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made to fit into that plan. And if you really want to know joy and you really want to know peace, you find where God wants you, and you get in the middle of that, and you live where God wants you to live and do what God wants you to do. Somebody said, preacher, that's crazy. Really? I was born to do what I'm doing. My dad never told me one time I needed to go to church. Never one time told me I was going to be a preacher until I preached my first sermon. And then he walked up and he said, the day you were born, God told me you would take my place. My dad was a backslid preacher. Amen. God gave me the ability to do what I was doing right now, long time before I realized it. And I tried to get away from it because I didn't want to be a preacher. And I turned my life upside down and nearly destroyed myself. But when I finally got into the will of God for what he wanted, and everybody's not going to be a preacher, so don't come tell me I'm not a preacher. But God's got something every one of you can do. And when you find that place God wants you to be and get in the center of his will and let that plan be done in your life, there is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Comes out of knowing that I'm where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. And when we do that, we find power in God. Could you say amen? Amen. Said, oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's Jeremiah chapter 10, 23. John 15 and 5. I am the vine, and ye the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Did you hear that? Without God, you can't accomplish anything in this world. Come on, church. So wait a minute, preacher. I know people ain't living right. It's made all kind of money. Elvis Presley was a very rich man. But he died a horrible death, afraid of his own shadow. Because he forgot who God was and got God out of his life. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to have people in the room singing to me so I can go to sleep at night. Come on, church. Elvis did. He said, well, it's not unusual. Read the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon said Solomon had to have men standing around his bed with a hand on the sheath of the sword so he could go to sleep. Cause of fear in the night. And what caused that fear? He got so tied up with all them women he was married to and their religion, it watered down his religion till he lost sight of who his God was. Amen. And finally he prayed through, broke that bondage of fear, and came out and said, hey, give me neither riches nor poverty, lest I forget who my God is. It's all vanity, but he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and in him I am an overcomer. Come on, church. I can't control my destiny because my destiny is in God. Psalms 37 and 4. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of your heart. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. What he's saying, put God first in your life. Isn't that what the New Testament said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these things will then be added unto you. Satan wants you to believe you control your destiny. You don't need God. But if you'll sell out to God, the end result is the power, the grace, the glory, and the joy that only God can give you. Could you say amen? 22nd verse, the Lord redeemeth the soul of the servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Do you know how that chapter starts? It starts out with, don't worry about the evildoers, neither by thy envious of the workers of iniquity. So they shall soon be cut down like grass, and they shall wither like the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed, and verily thou shalt dwell in the land. Hallelujah. He said, what are you talking about? I don't need to worry about all these people making money and not living right. Because all they got, something's going to last down here. When this place comes to pot and there's nothing left, I've still got somewhere to go. Amen. My hope is not in this world or the seeking sand that's on this world. My hope is in the power of God to take me to another world and to give me a peace over on the other side. I abide here till I get there, but I'm looking for a city whose foundations, the builder and the maker thereof is God. Could you say amen? That is my destiny. Could you say amen? The devil tells young people that parents just don't understand. My mama don't understand me. I used to think that my mama stood me real good. That's why she popped me all the time. Hello? But let's face it, 1,000 teens were ticked. 25% of the parents didn't even know what they were doing. 42% no words of praise in a 24-hour period prior to the time they were asked. 50% had not received a hug or a kiss in the last month. You'd think they're married. Glory. Percent had not heard the words I love you. 79% no help with the homework by their parents. Kids, it's because they ain't got a clue what y'all doing. Glory. You don't want some parents help because they didn't like me with some of that stuff. Alicia gave me a math class one time. She was in college. She gave me this. I worked and took 5 pages, I think it was. She looked at me and she said, no, Dad, we don't do it like that. I gave her the answer. But when I came through, you had to show every operation and write it down and make them see where it worked and how you made it work. Alec come in, got a hold of the calculator, done 3 operations, gave her the same answer. She said, Dad, that's how we do it. Glory. She didn't need my help. I'd have messed her up with a professor. Can you imagine that professor the next day? She walks in, hands him and he goes, what's this? Well, it's got the right answer. Glory. It just took half the day. Amen. They don't like my music. They don't face the same things I face. Let me tell you something. I've learned. I'm like David. I was young, now I'm old. And I figured out something. The devil's the same. He just finds different things to use. You know, let's face it. We got old folks around talking about, y'all listen to our music. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ping, pang, walla, walla, bing, bang. That's some good stuff. That's what some of these older folks used to listen to when they was teenagers. Y'all don't look at me like y'all think like y'all didn't do it. Some of y'all talk about, I remember the 50 music, that good stuff. Doo-wop. You always had one guy could hit that high note at the end. Ooh. I don't know what that guy done for a living after they quit singing them songs. He couldn't sing nothing else. Then by the 70s, we got it going. Do I diddy diddy dum diddy do. What's really scary is I think I knew what that meant back in the 70s. Glory. 80s and 90s, they got a little better. What you are what? And that was a top song. That was the words. The girl's name was Bicknell. That was her last name. She sung with a group called the New Bohemians. But if you listen to that song, it said, what is faith? It's a walk on a slippery rock. What are they telling you? Don't believe in God. Come on, church. And then for a while, they come up with backmasking. If you play a song backwards, it'd tell you stuff. They were songs you didn't have to play backwards. You could play them forward, and they'd still try to get you to follow Satan. Eli's coming. Three Dog Night. Just so you know, all three of them were satanic priests. Eli's coming, hide your heart. Do you know who Eli is? God. God's coming, hide your heart. You didn't have to play it backwards, it was going forward. Come on, church. Yeah, some of y'all listen to country music. That better. Last night, all alone in a bar, met a girl with a drink in her hand. That's good stuff, ain't it? What it amounts to is everybody's had junk they listen to and let it infiltrate their mind. It ain't got no better. Now they've gone to rap. You got a bunch of guys with gold teeth standing up there throwing money around. You'll be like, I want to be like him. I don't want my teeth covered with gold. I don't need a grill. I got teeth. Hello? Some of these old folks ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. Some of the rappers have gold fixed that slide up over the teeth, call it a grill. I got money. And they wear all that bling, and most of it's fake. And we got kids going, I won't be like them. Come on, church. But we say nobody understands. Listen, the grown-ups in this church fought a devil just like you do. They had to struggle as a teenager just like you do. They went through the same peer pressures you went through, just in a little different way. All of us was pressed to be part of the crowd, to be like everybody else. Come on, church. It's still working today. Some of you can't buy unless you saw it on TV, and you know it's the best stuff because they control your mind with advertising. My mama couldn't eat nothing but Kraft mayonnaise because it said on the advertisement it's real mayonnaise. She told me one day, you got to break eggs to make real mayonnaise. Church, you got to break eggs to make any mayonnaise. So all mayonnaise is oil, vinegar, and egg whites. That's all it is. Mixed up in different ways, that's how it tastes different. We got kids in here about to go broke trying to buy tennis shoes. Because they've been told these are the ones that make you run the fastest, jump the highest. Some of y'all, you ain't jumping. I don't care what you got on your feet. Glory. But we've been sold that. Hello? It ain't no different now than it was then. I remember my cousin gave me an Izod shirt. I took that little Izod sticker off, put Velcro on it. Everything I had became Izod. I'd stick it on every sweater. I wore that Polaroid Gator out because I wanted to fit in. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but by the time I was 16, I'd buy my own clothes because mom and dad couldn't afford to buy what I wanted to wear. I told my daddy I want a particular kind of penny tennis shoes. He said, just as soon as you can afford them, you can have them. So I went and earned the money and bought them. Years later, I thought about that, and I said, that's pretty stupid. He would have bought me buddies for free. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. We live in a world where we're being sold a bill of goods. Listen, the devil will tell you church isn't important. Why, y'all not have to get up every Sunday and go to church. I even had a lady tell me one time going to church every Sunday was too much of anything, no matter how good it is. Well, you can be too religious for your own good. So she quit going to church at all. Two divorces, kids all messed up, life blown apart. She's still wishing she'd have stayed in church. Come on, church. Because church is important. Listen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. I don't know about y'all, but I count church as a place where I'm getting ready for the rapture. I'm practicing so when I get to heaven, I ain't seen for 10,000 years without having to sit down and take a rest. Glory. Come on, church. And I always learned in school, as you practice, that's how you play. There was a time church wasn't important. There is a scripture that said there was a man that loved God, did everything pleased the sight of the Lord, howbeit he would not enter into the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles, the 27th, 28th chapter, his name was Jotham. He was the son of Uzziah. But he'd been raised in church, so he knew how to offer sacrifices. He knew how to pray. His dad took him to church every day of his life till his dad left church himself because he got struck with leprosy, because he got to the point he believed he didn't even need a preacher. I don't know if y'all understand, that's what happened to Uzziah. He lit the incense on the altar. And the priest said, don't do that because the law says only a priest can do it. And he said, I don't need no priest, I can do it myself. And he was struck with leprosy, and Jotham blamed the priest. Isn't that what always happens in church? It's got to be the preacher's fault. Nobody else would have done that. Got to be the teacher's fault, because as long as you find fault with a person bringing the message, there's a problem with the message. Hello? So Jotham wouldn't go to church. But see, Jotham didn't have the New Testament scripture I just read. He said he's supposed to go to church. And the Bible said, to them that knoweth to do good, doeth it not. To them it is what? A sin. But if you read the next chapter, you find out why it was important for Jotham to go. Because his son Ahaz followed not the Lord. Neither did the things please the sight of the Lord. But because Jotham didn't go to church, his grandkids were burned in the fire. I'm not in church because I got to be in church. I'm in church because I got people watching me that I want them to see God's important to me, so they'll make God important to them, so we can all be in heaven together. Come on, church. Amen. I want them to see how important God is in their life so they can make it. And I'm getting close to quitting. I know some of y'all, the devil's told you I'm preaching too long. I got a thing set. When I reach an hour, it'll beep. Last but not least, and I think this is one of the biggest things the devil's using on us. Don't worry. Tomorrow always comes. Years ago, David Wilkerson preached a sermon called There's No Such Thing as Tomorrow. His point was, by the time it gets here, it's today. Tomorrow never get here, because by the time you make it, it's today. And everybody looks for tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to change. Tomorrow I'm going to do different. Tomorrow I'm going to do. What happens if you don't make it to tomorrow? What happens if something by tonight happens and you don't make it to see daylight? And you leave this world like you are because you believed you could wait till tomorrow. I've had young people tell me that they wasn't in a hurry to get saved. They're going to sow their wild oats and go get saved. And they don't realize, but whenever you sow oats, you're going to have a harvest. And some of that stuff you don't want to harvest, but you ain't got much choice, because once you raise the plant, you're required to harvest it. Come on, church. I have problems in my life, and some of them are created from some things I did 40 years ago that I shouldn't have done. But I have to live with that because I made poor choices. Because I didn't think it really mattered, because I'd always straighten up by tomorrow. I have friends that kept waiting on tomorrow. We buried several of them, and tomorrow never came for them. But this world is trying to tell you tomorrow is going to come. Go for all the gusto you can get. Put a little weekend in your week. Just enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. You can always repent tomorrow. Two things wrong with that. Number one, tomorrow may never come. Number two, you don't pick when you're going to talk to God. The Bible said, no man cometh to the Father but the Spirit draw him. You talk to God when he's talking to you. You don't put it off because God may not be standing there when time comes you want. Do you realize that half the patients in the mental institution are under the age of 25 years old? Huh? That's in America. Half of the youth that commit suicide are under the influence of drug or alcohol when they do it. Not counting poor decisions that make you have to make adult decisions when you're a teenager. You shouldn't be trying to decide things that you need to wait till you're 20-something years old to decide. When you're 12, 13 years old, those are not decisions you're capable of making a true decision for. Yet the devil says, just wait till tomorrow. The world says, tomorrow will be here. But what if tomorrow doesn't come? I'm going to close, but I want to share a couple stories with you. I had a young man I came up to school with. We were buddies. We'd done all kind of stuff together. He thought I was the bomb. I remember I got him to doing things he shouldn't be doing because he thought because I did it, it was okay, and he got hooked up on it just like I did. I got saved, and I was working at Gaffer's department store part-time after I got saved. His mom worked there. I remember getting him on the phone one night, and they were in revival at the church in Peterson where his mom went, and I told him, I said, hey, I'm coming to church tomorrow night. You need to come be in church. The guy preaching, I'd heard of him, pretty good preacher. I thought maybe this kid might get saved because I really wanted to see him give his heart to God because I felt responsible for him being where he was. He talked to me and said, you know, I might just do that. He said, everybody I know is getting religion. I guess I need to. I said, well, why don't we pray tonight? And he said, I can't. I got stuff I got to do tomorrow before I can give my heart to the Lord. I got to clear up some stuff. And I forget, he never made it to church the next night. The state trooper come in to tell us he'd been killed instantly in a car wreck about a half a mile from a church. He pulled out from a coal truck, and it took the whole top of the car off, and most of him went with it. He was dead instantly. It wasn't one of those things where he lay there a while. He died immediately in the wreck. The last thing he did before he got saved, before he got killed, was a good thing to let us know he probably wasn't a Christian when he died. I had to attend that funeral and watch him lower him in the grave. And there are still times that I go down to that cemetery and I stand there and think about what it could have been like if I could have reached him. But I didn't. And I have to live with the fact that I got him where he was. And he died like he was because part of my influence. I have a cousin in Mississippi. The last thing he said to me was, I want to be like you. Problem was, the me he wanted to be like wasn't the preacher. It was the idiot. And I'm not being nice about that because I was stupid before I got saved. I talked to him four times during the night trying to get him to pray with me. He'd been doing all kind of junk, was in all kind of trouble. His sister had gone, got him out of jail, had him at her house, and she called me. I was in Louisiana, in Monroe, Louisiana, preaching. And three or four times during the night, I got up and called his sister's house. He got him on the phone. He got mad because I kept getting him up. And I kept saying, dude, we need to pray. I just feel like you need to talk to God right now. I'm told you I'm going to church in the morning. We're going to the preacher's office, and I'm going to give my heart to God then. Don't wait. The next morning, on the way to church, innocently stopped at a grocery store for him to run in and buy some gum. A young man he'd been having problems with was in that store. That gentleman had some memorabilia he was saving from when he was in World War II. One of them was a bayonet. A young man that he knew run a bayonet through him, twisted it, and pulled his insides out on the floor. He died instantly in that store. All I could think about at his funeral was, I want to be like you. I didn't pick this sermon to preach tonight. I spent quite a bit of time in the office this afternoon asking God about this. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. You need to hear me tonight. Don't believe the lies. The lies will take you to hell. don't believe you got the rest of your life, because the rest of your life could be just a few moments of fleeting time, and you could leave here before you get home. None of us knows we're going to make it to morning. But right now, God's talking to some of you about where you are, what's going to happen in your life if you don't turn it over to God. If you can't hear anything else this preacher says, understand I'm here tonight because I don't want to lose you. I don't want to see you spend eternity without God. I would give anything to help you tonight clear some things up in your life so you can be ready for Him to come. Right now, while the Spirit of God's moving in this building, I want you to think about where you are. Are you listening to the lies? Are you listening to the deception? Listen to the truth. Jesus Christ loves you. There's nothing you've got to do to get ready for Him. He's ready for you right now. That's why He's calling you. He's ready to change your life. He's ready to give you a new day. And the only way that's going to happen is when you open your heart to Him. No more games. Just talk to Him and let Him have His way in your life. Stand with me all over the house. Heavenly Father, I thank You now, God, for Your love, for Your mercy. God, Your power and Your grace is sufficient today. And I believe You, God, to move on Your people. Touch us with Your anointing. Move on us with Your presence. For God, I know Your power, Your grace, Your glory is sufficient to touch us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, move on us with Your love.